Let's get ready to go, because this is the Chet Show! And it's gonna be fun.
Oh, hang on, I'm on
the train headed back to Indiana.
I like how you say that.
With a little cynicism, like, it may or may not be for you. I'm gonna have a blast.
This is the beginning of a brand new Chad Matthew podcast. I know a lot of you have not heard me talk with so much passion before.
It's the beginning of a beautiful thing.
It's going to be an amazing friendship. It will. You're going to love me. Let's go.
Well, we are back. We are. This is becoming such an amazing time for me, really. I'm going to talk about my work ethic today and work ethic in general and just kind of what it means to be creative and what it means to accomplish things for me. And I just want to say thank you to everybody so far who's come on the show, because I had a little epiphany and realization the other day that I kind of overlooked, I guess, in the moment. And it was everyone who's come on to the show has genuinely been here to help me and to be a part of this process of allowing me to undertake this journey and sharing in that. And I just want to say thank you to you all who have been here so far. Like, that it means so much to me to be able to want to create a space where everyone can talk. And so many of you have come and started to share with me, and we've gone so deep. I mean, we've talked about so many things and really started to create this environment that will just continue to grow. But I've been working so much on a few things this year. I think we all have, actually. I mean, I won't just say I've been working so hard this year. I mean, we've all had challenges and what have you this year. But I've really found that there's been a huge emphasis on maturity with growing. And what I mean by that is in trade and in industries and in careers. You know, jobs will be jobs. Jobs come and go, and they fulfill the need of working for money. But what I've seen from the people that I've obviously had here and they've shared their stories with you, and I've been sharing a lot of my background of where I kind of came from, and I'm going to share a lot more of that stuff with you guys so you can get that relationship really kind of opened up that clam. But what I've kind of noticed is how people are kind of fine-tuning their art, their craft, and, you know, not just supplying a cover letter and a resume anymore. Like, we're at the point now where you really have to be involved. You really have to have a work ethic, and it really has to show. You know, there's no complacency. There's no time for complacency at the moment, because, you know, we have unfortunately had a whirlwind of, you know, disaster and destruction and mayhem within our industries, closing and kind of shuffling and going online and taking away a little bit of the freedoms that we really have taken for granted. The freedoms that we've taken for granted were way before this COVID. I mean, the freedoms that we took for granted were, we work in an industry that we help build every day. We attend station, our production, our workplace, our clients who are coming to us are, you know, after a standard of excellence, and vice versa. You know, we're after excellence from our clients, paid on time. We want to be paid on time. We want to have clear documentation clear understanding of our roles, clear understandings of the job description, and vice versa again. You know, we want to deliver that. We want to be we want to be well received, we want to be awarded, and we want to be held accountable in an amazing light of achievement. My work ethic came from, as you know, or if you haven't listened to this particular podcast, it came from a young little boy who always saw opportunity and always saw building something was a reward in itself. And I guess that's what is still today very, 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 very deep and concreted into this 38 young man. And that is how to have passion, how to have grit, and how to have a emphasis on the journey and not just the finished product. When I read a script, or I'm given a script, or I write a script, I'm actually interested in the script. You know, I don't want to get to set straight away. Sometimes that's the scariest part, because you're like, okay, have I learnt my lines? You know, do I understand what I'm talking about? Are they going to be happy? And it's the same thing when you're giving these things to somebody to do. And I find that relationship, having that relationship with people, is what creates a better workplace and a better work ethic. So what I'm saying is, what has worked for me through the last 15 years of my career has been the fact that I am willing to change, I am willing to grow, and I'm willing to understand what I don't know. That is what's been taken for granted, I feel, over the last few years. And it is complacency. I find that finally right now, there isn't time for that anymore. And there's been a lot of people who I've come in contact with, and so grateful for it. Like everyone who I have had on the show, they work so hard. They all have a work ethic that I love, that I admire. You know, I mean, I only know bits and parts of their lives, and well, now we all do. But what I love about them is their willingness to share what got them to where they are now. Because that we only know as much as we know now. We don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we have dreams and goals and aspirations, but we don't. And what's kind of happened in the last year for me, and also the people around me, is the complacency where people were holding on to career jobs and treating them like jobs, they don't have that opportunity anymore. And I've seen industries minimize but expand so much more because the environment is welcome to growing again. And I didn't feel like that was happening in 2018 and 2019. If not, it was becoming more and more frustrating because everybody wanted this achievement and this accolade and this like wonderful life, and they wanted to all be a part of the next best thing. But there was no sense of like, there was a lot of sense of self, but there wasn't a lot of sense of the community and how every role matters and every person's job within that career or within that industry actually matters. Everyone's role is just as important. And, you know, like it was like a sausage factory, you know, just like churning it out, you know, it's like, let's get more content, more content, more content. And I mean, you guys can see how quickly content can be made. I mean, if I can put out that much content in 24 hours, 7 days a week, imagine what teams of people can do. Do you know what I mean? And that's what it was. That's what it's been like. It's like, wow. I mean, I'm just a one person, and you know, I can go and do multiple hours in a function, multiple hours in a gym. Then I can get down to the beach. And then I can also go and do Zoom meetings and conferences and attend a few evening events. I mean, you guys don't get to see everything that I do. I don't film absolutely everything. And I think some people actually get surprised. They're like, oh, he's always on his phone, but he's not on his phone. Is he going to take a picture of us? It's like, no, I don't take pictures of everything. But my point is if I can create that much content for one person on a daily basis, you can imagine how well and finely tuned content can be created in an industry. So my point is there shouldn't be a lack of jobs because there's always content. But what the lack of jobs is the complacency of working with others. My work ethic is about creating an environment. That's why I've got people on the show. That's why you always see the behind the scenes. That's why that is always the thing that I want to show. If I'm not showing me in my life, I will show the creating and the creation and the creative moments that go into the projects that I'm a part of. That instills with me like this work ethic of purpose, of meaning. And I genuinely work harder because I know that I want to provide and produce a level of greatness and of great work, you know, and not just greatness in self, but greatness in product, you know, productivity. And so over the last few months, I've come across so many people who are doing so well. And I'm really inspired lately on how well people have moved into the marketing side of things. And I've been learning a lot of stuff behind the scenes from people who I'm really grateful for, showing me how different marketing strategies really help the work ethic. So being more productive, not just selling more, not just making more revenue, but actually setting yourself up for longer gain rather than short windfalls. Because a lot of the content that you see, the reason why there's so much content in marketing and just you see it all the time is they want, it's like a fire sale, you know, it's like buy, buy, buy. And some of these companies, they do really, really well off fire sales because we have short attention spans. So we don't think, oh, hang on, this is going to be cheaper next week. You know, oh, got to get it now while it's on sale. It's like, yeah, well, it's on sale now because it's losing value. And if they don't sell it at the price that they can sell it for now, they're going to have to sell it cheaper later. But because of our attention span, the fire sales are what prompt us to believe we have to or should buy it at this better price because, you know, in a week's time, it's the stock's going to be gone. And, you know, that's not the case. And I think we, now that I've said it, we can all agree on that. What I've started to notice with the people that I've been around lately and the people I've been working with and working on projects and creative ventures with is they're all focused on the project, that is to create more of it and around more people who are on the same level. So again, it's not just about the fire sale and getting the finished product. It's about setting yourself up to be able to have more creative projects. I mean, it sounds like, well, duh, Chad, you know, I mean, that's what we're all doing, but it's not what people are setting themselves up for. You've got to have that mindset. It's like a stock exchange, you know, like you've got to invest before there's a return. And I feel that when people are in jobs, they don't invest. What's so different now is the level of investment has changed dramatically because if you're not working, you're not needed because there isn't enough jobs. So if you're not going to show your value, then we don't need you. And I think that should be stock standard, really. There's so many people. We've got, you know, four generations on the planet. You know, there's two new ones who are roaring and ready to go, who have just come out of learning how to learn and ready to pick up the tools and start using them. And I'm like all for letting them have a go. I mean, you know, if there's someone just sitting there raking in a weekly wage, but they're not really helping any other generation create more room and space for another generation or for ourselves, well, yeah. I mean, they kind of just need to be stacking shelves or something, you know. And it's just not necessary to be in a career role if you're not going to be pursuing your career role. We've spoken with so many people on this show so far about study. There's no lack of courses, coaching, and directions that you can take yourself these days. There are so many ways to be progressive. There are so many ways you could actually start learning the same industry, but a new trade. You know, I mean, our industries have multiplied in their divisions, I guess, to be able to grow, but also to allow growth within the community of industry. I mean, we know that a factory can only, you know, be so big and produce so much, and then the rest of it is storage, right? We need to create platforms where people can be a part of the process and not just the packaging. And that's what I feel was lacking the most, and especially in the entertainment industry. You know, not everyone's in front of the camera and not everyone's behind the camera, right? There's so many things going on. I mean, there's the people in front of the camera, then there's someone holding the camera, but then you've got all these other things going on. But what our industry started to do was they started going, well, why don't you just tape yourself? I mean, the camera's good enough. Just get some good lighting. You know, we've got these programs. They'll fix your sound. You know, lighting. If you've got good enough lighting, we can just touch it up here and there. And that's been so detrimental to our industry. I mean, I'm all for doing pro bono kind of work and, you know, working for a benefit rather than just a financial gain. So it could be a connection, it could be trade for print, so receiving some footage or some photos, content. You know, when they want you to do all these roles and then still be paid very, very low, it is a slap in the face to our industry, not just us personally. We can't allow companies and people in marketing situations, so i.e. like, you know, people who are working in the social media and marketing of their companies and of their organizations, to get so complacent about what it takes to have good value. Because there's already a bullying around money. You put money involved in anything, right? And it's no longer about the thing that you were dealing with, right? It becomes about money. So it's either we want you to work this hard for the money, or we'll complain that you haven't worked hard enough for it, or we will be happy with you, you know, doing your best. Doing your best is never good enough, right? It's always got to be high value for low value, really. The last few months, I've seen a real change in the way that people have been saying no, right? And I'm so grateful that I'm not the only one saying no, because once COVID is over, because people started filming in their homes and doing real families and real this and real that. And I'm talking about advertising and stuff like that, not obviously not acting and real juicy kind of scripts, but majority of the work for actors is in commercial. You know, there's no doubt about it. That's the bread and butter. And it's also where the agents sit majority of the time. So the agent's expectation is to have X amount of work, you know, coming through the doors so they can manage the agencies and things like that. And in the last few months, I've seen the relationships, thankfully, start to get a little tighter. They will start to understand how to promote you best, so that you will, well, get the job and they'll get paid. Where before it was just all free willy-nilly, you know, we'll just send out a bulk email and whoever clicks yes, no, whatever, and then we'll just reshuffle the talent when we kind of feel that it's getting a bit old. And I don't mean age, I just mean faces, you know, fresh faces, because there's so much content being made so cheaply that it's easier to have a fresh face than to have a career person who is going to be a celebrity, a star, a major player in the acting game, a major player in the TV game, a major player in stand-up comedy or stage work or in theatre. You know, I mean, the lists go on, really. But it got to a point in the last 2 years where they were just getting fresh faces because the fresh faces wouldn't say no. And so the work has been getting tight for some time now. Like it's been getting really, really tight in the entertainment industry. And that's why I love to talk about my work ethic, because having a work ethic doesn't mean, oh, I'm ready to do anything and I'll do anything and everything what it takes and, you know, all that sort of stuff. Like that's part of it. But having a good work ethic is actually having the ability to, and the knowledge of how to say no. And that's a very difficult thing to learn in the corporate and business world, because you're not saying no. You're not saying no to the work, but you're because of the complacency in all these different areas of businesses. So you've got managers who manage managers, and you've got managers who manage the managers' managers. There, it doesn't. In the world of money doesn't really say no. Money never says no, right? Money always says yes. So people get very, they just don't understand. When you're saying no, they think you're saying no to money. And it's like, no, I'm saying no for other reasons. But because of the money being in the situation, everything, the whole conversation is redundant, because all you're being used for and what your time is being utilized for, regardless of the job or role, you're there to be paid, apparently. But you're not. You're there for your skills. That's the point of all of that. You're not there to get money. You're there to offer skills. You're there to offer a service. So what we need to kind of learn, what I've seen in the last few months, especially the last few months, is people are being a lot more skill-based savvy. So they're being like, no, I offer a service. I don't offer my time. My time comes with my service. You're not paying for my time. You're paying for my skills. And in turn, that'll come with time. You know, I've had some people on recently talking about how people or clients or just in general will feel that if you can do something in 5 minutes, I should just pay you for 5 minutes. There is a 20, you know, 15, 10, 20 year process that allowed a person to be able to have that skill. So I always say I work with people, not for people, because that way I'm a part of the thinking process. I'm not just on a payroll. You know, I'm not working for you. I'm working with you. So you have to listen to me also. And you have to understand that when I say no, like I'm not going to do fast food, because I don't eat it for one. I don't eat fast food. I like hot chips, but I don't like the big brands or anything like that. You won't see me sitting there and eating certain types of foods from big corporate companies. It's just not my mojo. It's not my style. It's not my taste. I don't drink any longer. I can sit there and, you know, be with someone who's a drinker. That's not a problem. But can the drinker sit there and be with a non-drinker? That's the question. The non-drinker is happy to sit with a drinker, but the drinker seems to have the biggest problem. And I always say to the drinker, aren't you having, isn't that supposed to be relaxing you? So it's like, you shouldn't feel guilty about relaxing if that's what it's doing for you. But we all know why. By now, why I do or do not do certain things anymore. And it's just a personal choice now. It's just a lifestyle. Back to what I'm trying to get to here is learning how to say no is not about being abrupt, being angry, being forceful, using brute strength. It's about having an endurance and a diligence that says, I know what I'm saying, I know what I'm selling. So you have to compromise with me as you are my client as much as I am yours. it's a relationship. And I've seen that so much lately. And I've really started to just hang around and pick up so much. And I'm not talking about like 50-year-olds or 80-year-olds or, you know, 20-year-old. Like, I'm talking about all ages. I mean, age does not matter when you have passion. When you have passion and you're driven to get out of bed and do what you love doing, who needs to even know your age? I mean, your work speaks for you because that's what you're there for. And that's what people want to see. But the complacency always loves to eat at the thing that it's complacent about, right? So if you come up to people who aren't as passionate as you, you're gonna cop it. You are. And you have to learn how to go, well, look, that's fine. If you're not into this, that's all right. But I'm going forward and I'm saying yes and I'm saying no. And I'm gonna tell you that what I can offer you because I believe in my skills. My skills are important to me because it keeps me on track with my passion. You know, we're not all life coach. We all are our own life coach. And I know that subconsciously we all know that. And it's easier said than done. Going into the unknown is very difficult. Very, 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 it's very, very hard. It's very hard to stop something you've done for a very long time also. You know, routine is a very tough thing to break. That's why I tend to stick to lifestyle now. I don't get into routines because if I get into routines, then it's just you just get stuck on that mouse wheel, and it's really hard. It's difficult to get off. It's just you might as well know that you're going to do something, use energy, and be out there, and just kind of go with the flow, and don't have a time frame. Don't be like checking the numbers on the dials, you know, either the clock or the scales, you know, just kind of let things happen. The last couple of months, the best examples of the things that I've been highlighting today have been probably seeing my industry start to engage by phone. I know it sounds like a foreign concept now, doesn't it? Picking up the phone and calling you because, you know, a lot of people just weren't tapping yes or no for jobs because the jobs didn't apply to them because they didn't have the space in their home because they lived with other people or they couldn't do the job. They couldn't because they couldn't host their own audition. They couldn't tape their own thing or they weren't comfortable taping it or, you know, and these are skills that agents should be teaching you. You know, if you're paying them any fee, or and I don't mean upfront, I mean they're taking a fee from you because they are sending a skilled person to a skilled job, and that's on them, people. Any artist who's listening right now, if your agent sends you as a skilled person to a skilled job, they should know your skill. And they should also know what skill you're bringing or what skill you're lacking and help you build your skills. I mean, that's what great leaders, great companies, great organizations, and basically businesses do. They work on building the skills of their employees and also their corporate clients. So they could be, you know, a sole trader or a contractor. You know, you're not going to send a gardener to be a chef. You know what I mean? Like, if they do that, if they do send a gardener for a chef role, I mean, that's on them. So if they're sending you to the wrong things and you're not getting the jobs, you know, yeah, just be very aware what you're going for and learn how to say, I'm not ready, or I don't know this, or can you help me? And they should already be doing this. And I've seen some agencies really pull their head out lately. And I'm not going to say names because I don't want to highlight anyone. I want everyone to get on board with it and just be genuine to their craft, and that is being a good agent, and harness and promote and kind of get this industry back on its feet, which means, you know, creating people who want to be so passionate and so amazingly grateful for what they're pursuing, that they go out there and give their all each time they go. Not go, oh, if I get this one, I get it. If I don't, I don't. I'll just go back to my job and, you know, I'll take 5 minutes off. I'll go to this casting, hopefully find parking. I've known people who pull up in castings, auditions, and there's so many people there that they end up leaving. And sometimes they've actually, you know, they're the perfect person for the role. But because agents have sent so many people who are not really the right fit, they've actually oversent or undersent the right talent. And this is what I was saying about work ethic. And this has to come back to every business. You know, you're creating an industry. You're creating a long-term investment in your company, in yourself, in your role. You know, if you want to be the best agent, I mean, you want to be able to say, I know what I'm doing. But this is the thing. Most people say that they know what they're doing, but they always seem to know what everyone else is. They always seem to be able to tell you what you're supposed to be doing, but they never really know what they're supposed to be doing. Funnily that this is a bit of a reach out, I guess, through this session and podcast tonight, that I just want to create a safe space or a bit of a communication within yourself, within you, to start questioning yourself on your ability to say no. And I don't mean saying no and walking away. I mean saying no that you're not just an employee. Saying no, I'm not just selling my time. I'm not just here for as long as you want me. I am a skilled person who wants to be here for passion, so I can get up every day and love what I love doing. No, I'm going to come into work and have a safe environment where I can enjoy myself, and I will understand that today could be a good day or a bad day for the office or for the production or for the company or for, you know, the travel or whatever the day is for you. But know that I am here as a skilled person on my own merit in my life doing what I love. And I'm not working for you. I'm working with you. And this stuff's really worked for me, guys. Like it sounds very evasive, but I'm not saying to go out and just start, you know, rubbing people the wrong way and, you know, just being like really arrogant at all. It's more of a self conversation. It's really something that has helped me grow my work ethic, where I don't feel burdened by the amount of work that I put in, and that, I guess, that's what I'm trying to say. It's not about going and going up to people and just, you know, telling them that they've got no clue who you are or what you're worth, and, you know, creating a situation. No, that's not what I'm saying. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't ruin all your opportunities. What I'm really, really trying to get into and out of this session is how work ethic has always stuck to a really fine-tuned art by knowing what I have chosen is the purpose. And whatever I'm thrown, knowingly or unknowingly, you know, not under a bus, I'm never going to be happy with that and go, oh, yes, please. No, of course, that's going to send you up the wall and you're going to fly off the handle or something. I mean, that's just normal. But your intent to get up every day and go to something that you've chosen with passion, because you know that you're good at what you do. And you know that you're going there to deliver a service. You're not, they haven't just plucked you up and they're just turning the hands on the clock, and they'll let you go when they're good and ready. That's something that I have worked very hard to avoid for most of my life, besides working in retail. I guess retail is what it is, right? You're serving customers and you're giving a service between a particular amount hourly time. I think everyone should do customer service just to understand what it feels like to kind of not be a valid individual in the process of money. And this is a really good point. To understand how money doesn't give a person value because the way that the money gets exchanged past you is a good way to start understanding what money can really be in a situation. And it can start to help you understand that having money or using money is a great tool, but it also can limit you if you have the wrong way of using it. Because how many people do you throw money at every day or tap or whatever you however you transact money, and you don't even care about the person who's taking it because you just think the service is what you're getting. And most of the time, let's face it, you're not always happy with that service. But it's like, oh, do I have to pay rent? Do I have to pay electricity? Do I have to pay for my phone bill? You know, all these things that, you know, I don't really want to pay for. Or you've got the money to pay for them, but they're a burden to have to go through the process each month. So you hire somebody else. And again, a service, right? And again, you're throwing money at a person to do it for you. So there's a limitation to how you can perceive money. And it won't get you up every day. And working in a retail environment in any age for as long as you can deal with it, or as long as you would like to, can give you a perspective on how the retail sector is such a fire sale. You know, it's so just in and out. Like, you're hardly even looked at, you know what I mean? And unless you really get engaged with some really great people on the day or have a wonderful experience, but most of the day it's a sausage factory, right? That's the difference between that. And retail has to be there because we all need to buy products. But careers create the products. Careers create all the things that we buy. Careers create the infrastructure and build the buildings and have the streets set up with people working in office buildings and building homes and having families and all the other things that make up a career. There is a huge part of it that has this ecosystem within it. And it is very good to be a part of it. But, you know, the complacency that I had seen in my industry in 2018, 2019, in Australia, especially in Australia, the work ethic was going down because people were just turning up for their time. They were clocking off as quick as they could. They were turning up. They were having 100 coffees because, well, I'm back here again. And then when can I clock off? When can I get out of here? it was beginning to be very detrimental to our industries. Definitely why I started changing my career choices and wanted to be more skill-based. And that's the reason why I've gone into coaching and public speaking, is because I found that the only way to really develop my appreciation for skills was to use my skills to the highest level. That's communicating. That's vocally communicating and sharing and growing. So I stepped up and went, okay, well, I'm getting complacent because I can turn up and be this energetic person, throw me a script and I'm done, I'm out, you know, fire sale, sausage factory, wham, bam, thank you, man. And out I go. But I was like, oh, well, what else is there? Like, and it happens to everybody. It really does. So the only way up out of that and to continue with my work ethic, which has always been important to me. So work ethic, i.e. passion. Passion is my work ethic. The only way to do that was to step up my game and go, you know what? I need my brain needs to say something new. My brain needs to do something different. And my body can move left, right, forwards, backwards, and hey, it can still move in all the four planes. That's not a problem. But my brain needs something different to kind of ignite the fire. So I encourage you guys to take all that in and think about where you're at, because we've still got a lot of building to do. We've still got a lot of growth after COVID, and this is globally, not just within our communities or within our industries or within, you know, our country. It's a global network of interactions that we could step up and actually be enthusiastic again. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being enthusiastic and be hopeful and, you know, have all those bells and whistles and a little bit of breath of fresh air, as they say. So I really hope that conversation has hit home with you, and I'm sure you can relate to complacency or workplace kind of uneasy situations or feeling like, you know, what's my validation personally or from my peers or from management. Yeah, really think about how you can have a better attitude towards that. So you're not a pushover, but you're not someone who's going to be self-destructive and also very, you know, you're not going to throw yourself under the bus. We don't want you doing that. You know, it's good to know what you want. Definitely. You got to ask yourself, what do I want and how do I want that? And these people should appreciate that I want to grow their company. These people should appreciate that I want to work hard. These people, whoever these people are, should appreciate that I want to do my best. So I hope that you are going out there and trying, delivering and achieving all your wondrous goals, ambitions and drives, because that's what it's all about. It is about understanding what it is that you want, because you are the facilitator. You are behind the wheel. So grab that wheel, take your foot off the brake and just take a ride. Cruise through life, live it, love it and enjoy it. See you guys. Have fun. Live life, love life, and enjoy life. Why? Because you gotta. In our home.